Hey, this is Bradley Weber. I'm the pastor of Release City Church, and this is our podcast. I'm super excited that you tuned in, and I really hope today's message encourages you, gives you a sense of hope, and inspires you to pursue all that God has created you to be. Now, let's jump right into today's message.
Welcome to church, everybody. Welcome to Release City. Are you excited to be in the building today? Hey, before we jump in, let me give you one announcement that we did want to make sure we pushed from the platform. As you know, there are two events that is one of the largest things we do here in the community to give back. One of those is the Easter event that we host right there around the Easter weekend. It's the largest Easter egg hunt here in the Tri-County area, and it just grows and grows every year, and God is using us to make an impact in the lives of families in our city with no strings attached. The second one is the Christmas parade. That is coming up on December the 13th. That is the second Saturday of December, and what we have done for a number of years, we started out with just wrapping some gifts, and we handed those out, and we was like, man, we could do more, and so then we started collecting stuffed teddy bears, and we tagged those with just a little bitty simple card that says, Merry Christmas, Jesus loves you, and I can just tell you, I could just go on and on and on about the emails and messages that we get from families in the community that have received those cards. I remember one year, a grandmother messaged us almost right after the parade on Facebook, on the church Facebook page, and she just said, you have no idea what I'm going through in my life right now. This is an older lady, elderly lady, and she said, you have no idea what I'm going through right now in my life, and seeing those words that Jesus loves me was everything that I needed, and my Christmas will be different this year because of a teddy bear. And so it was just really cool. Actually, the teddy bear, I think, went to her grandchild, but she saw the card, and so in addition to that, we do pass out, hand out bicycles along the parade route. Last year, we were up to close to 100 bikes. But this year, the reason I'm making the announcement now, we are about six to seven weeks out from that date. As you leave today, you'll see two huge boxes right as you go through the kids' area that we're going to begin collecting starting this week coming up, this coming up weekend. Next time, anytime you're at Dollar General, Dollar Tree, wherever, stuffed teddy bears, you can find them online. You can get in bulk for cheap. Basically, it's about a medium-sized teddy bear, Christmas bear, something like that, no, like, stuffed aliens or nothing like that, okay? We want to keep it like a teddy bear. It's nice and soft and gentle and for the babies. But we're going to go ahead and begin taking those in and just see what God does. I think last year we were around 800 teddy bears. Y'all, I think we can get about 1,000 teddy bears. I mean, there's just no reason. I mean, look around the room. We're bumping close to 300 people in this room. We've got one more order of chairs, and then we will be at our max for what we can hold in here, and that'll be 300 people. And then who knows what God's going to do. Amen. It's time to get in that building. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Give Jesus one more praise in the house. I know. Somebody say, why do you do that? I heard him say, sometimes we bring in a heaviness. Sometimes, and I think my role is to try to just break down the ice, break whatever it is that we carried in here from our crazy week. The Holy Spirit just wants to just release everything he has into your life. And sometimes you gotta just put a praise, even when you don't feel like it. Even when you're sitting at the light and it won't turn green, and you're, God, I praise you. And maybe he's got you stuck at that light so you can give him praise. And well, I don't have anything to praise him for. Well, praise him for what you need. Amen. Instead of praising him when you get what you want. Oh, okay. He's edgy. I am, and I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Are you ready for the word this morning? I'm ready to give you something today. Let's do it. Let's go to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. Father, thank you for this opportunity that we have to get into your word today, God. I ask that it would do something amazing in our lives. And God, it will change us from the inside out. May we see Jesus different than we've ever have in our lives. May we experience his love, his affection for us as imperfect people. And lives will be changed today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 1. Says this, in late autumn, I love this story, by the way. In late autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and how things were going in Jerusalem. They said to me, things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire. When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. And then I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. Isn't that cool, church, that even when you know you've sinned, even though when you know you're not living right, you still have access to talk to God? Hello, somebody. Because I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm pretty sure that not a single person in this room is sin-free. Not a single person in here is perfect. Hello? He said, I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back. I will bring you back. Doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, how bad you screwed up, how many jacked up decisions you made. If you get in line with what God has for your life, he will bring you back. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I have chosen for my name to be honored. Verse 10, the people you rescued by your great power and strong hand are your servants. Oh Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it into his heart to be kind to me. I want to speak to you today from the subject, finding purpose in broken pieces. Finding purpose in broken pieces. As we begin unpacking this thing, I want to do just a little bit of, I just want to do a quick poll. How many of you were teenagers in the 80s / 90s? Let me see all the hands. Where you at? All the 80 babies? All the, well, not you weren't, if you weren't a baby in the 80s, that means you were a baby in the 70s. You spent your teenage years in the 80s or 90s. Let me say it this way. If I were to say the name Casey Kasem, I did not think that was going to be the response I was going to get. If I was to say the name Casey Kasem, how many know who I'm talking about? Yeah, I don't know if you know who I'm talking about, but there was a show on the radio called Casey's Top 40, and it was just that. It was the top 40 songs being played on radio stations around the country. Now, I'm not sure if they still do this today, but back in my day, radio stations, I mean, do we even still listen to radio stations? We got all kinds of gadgets and things for our vehicles and satellites that play music and all those things, but they used to do a thing called call request line. Y'all remember that? Where you would call in, and be, hey, this is Bradley. I need to dedicate, can you play a Boys to Men song for my boo? You know what I'm talking about? Y'all remember? How many actually did that? Be honest, how many? Yeah, okay. So on Casey Kasem's show, it was actually called Long Distance Dedications. Somebody says, what's this got to do with broken pieces? Everything. Today, I want to be very specific on who this message is for. Today, I want to do a dedication. Today, I want to dedicate this message to anyone who feels like you've hit a wall and all you were left with were the broken pieces of a life that once was. I want to dedicate this message to anyone who grew up in a broken home, whose parents figured out, who couldn't figure out how to stay together, who chose divorce over working it out. I want to dedicate today's message to the person who gave everything they could to their marriage and it still failed. I want to dedicate this message to the man or woman who feels shackled to shame because your choices left behind collateral damage. And you feel like things could not ever be repaired. I want to dedicate this message to the person who's been betrayed by a friend or a loved one whose scars are so deep that it makes it almost impossible to trust anyone ever again. To make sure I don't leave anybody out, let's go over this one. I want to dedicate this message to the people who are still grieving over a loved one who is no longer on this earth. I dedicate this message to the parent who had to bury their son or daughter prematurely, broken pieces. I dedicate this message to the person who is always in a crowd, yet you always feel invisible, broken pieces. If you showed up today in this room, or if you're listening online, Facebook, or a podcast at a later date, this message is for you. Finding purpose in broken pieces. See, we think we're going to find our purpose, or we're going to find purpose in everything that's when everything's working together for our good, church people. We think we'll find our purpose there. Listen, you can also find purpose in the broken pieces and broken areas and broken places in your life. The story of Nehemiah is actually one of my favorite stories in the Bible. How God used Nehemiah to rebuild something that was seemingly destroyed. But what's interesting about this story, if you continue reading, and we don't have time to go through all of it. I've taught from this one before, but God said, we want to go back. These are the four things that I want you to pull out for my people today. But if you continue reading, you'll find out that the reason Nehemiah is so distraught is because the walls of the city that we were talking about is actually the place where his ancestors were buried, and his people are still living there today. But the walls had been torn down, and now his people are constantly being beat up by the enemy, and Nehemiah is burdened for his people. Have you ever been burdened for someone before? Ever had a family member that you've tried to help, but they just continue to go down a road, or they continue to hit a wall, and even though you try all that you can do, you still can't, your help just doesn't seem to be enough. Have you ever experienced that? Watching someone else's life get shattered into broken pieces. So Nehemiah decides to do something about the situation, and he wants to rebuild the walls. I know for a while I used to read this story, and I thought how similar and parallel I feel like my life is, or has been, or maybe still is today, to the life of Nehemiah. Maybe you can find your story parallel to the life of Nehemiah. Basically, what he's saying is when his family member came and told him that things are not good, he's basically like, we got to get these walls back up. We've got to get our protection back up. We've got to get our confidence back. And another piece to this story that you need to understand is the walls. Everybody say the walls. The walls that are now rubble have been laying dormant for decades. In other words, this is not something that just happened last week or last month. It's almost like 10, 15, 20 years have gone by. Imagine, if you can, every day people passing by and see the residue or the remnants of what once was. A reminder of when life was good. Have you ever been there? When you're standing around looking at scattered pieces of a life that you've destroyed or choices that you've made, and now you look and old memories pop up, or you see things and you remember a time when things were good, but now where you are, things are not so good. Can I tell you, even though things may not be good, God is still good. Basically, Nehemiah was saying, I'm sick and tired of my people walking by the rubble that once was, not seeing the potential of what could be. I remember Some of you know the story of for years, Dad was asking Amy and I to come back and shoulder the ministry, the responsibilities of the ministry. And I always said, no. I graduated and there was nothing for me in Chiefin because I just didn't fit in. I didn't have the big pickup truck with the antenna. I joke about this all the time. The big long antenna with the thing that would touch the road as you're driving. Not much has changed. I've seen a truck that actually looks like it's getting ready to take off. Y'all seen that truck? That might be some of your kinfolk. I ain't knocking it. But I didn't really fit in. So when I graduated, because we weren't from here, we moved when I was in the eighth grade. And so when I graduated, I moved. I went back towards the Atlanta area where I was raised most of my life. And I was like, no, Dad, I'm not coming back. And I remember when the Holy Spirit in the end of 2013 said, I want you to call your dad and I want you to ask him what it would look like to come back. And I remember my flesh no longer rose up and go, wait a minute, what are you doing? You know how y'all do. And I remember he changed something, the Holy Spirit changed something in me, and he said, stop looking at what it looks like and look at the potential of what it can be. So I'm talking to somebody whose life looks a wreck and situations and circumstances have been just turned upside down. Listen, stop looking at the current condition of what it is and start looking at what it can be. I could spend the rest of our time talking about the history of this ministry and how God has changed things. And things don't look like they always have. Everybody say growth brings change. What's also interesting about this story is at the time that Nehemiah received the word that destruction and devastation, the destruction and devastation that was happening back in Jerusalem, Nehemiah had a cushy job. Everybody say cushy job. Nehemiah's job was a cupbearer, which was a high-ranking position where primarily he was responsible for protecting the king from being poisoned either by food or by drink. And his role made him one of the most trusted people by the king. The reason I point this out is because Nehemiah was in a good place, and yet he sees people in a broken place, which leads me to ask the question, why is it that someone from the outside is the only one that can see that the people need help? Could it be that Nehemiah was a broken man? And in order to see broken places, you have to have an eyesight that's broken. The Bible says that a broken and a contrite heart or spirit, the Lord will not despise. I'll never forget Donnie Gatlin, who has been here many, many times back at, it was a youth conference years ago, and he wrote a song called Broken. And I remember as a 14, 13-year-old kid standing in the altar of a large arena, and he was just up there ministering the song Broken. Break me of my pride. You remember that song, Britt? Lord, I need to be broken. And I think that it was at that moment that God began to do something in my life. Remember, in order to see brokenness and in order to understand that you have a responsibility and that God can actually equip you to help someone else's brokenness, you got to experience and go through brokenness yourself. So what are you saying, Pastor B? What I'm saying is our world is broken. Government can't fix it. Only God can fix it. And that's why you're seeing more and more about God being, our government being influenced by God. And in order for us to be able to see that there's a problem in our city and that families are hurting, instead of just hustling and bustling and going through Walmart or the grocery store with our buggies, totally oblivious because we ourselves are hurting. Listen, I have found over and over and over again, the more that I reach out to people and I try to up and lift up people, even though in spite of I need to be lifted up myself, God will take care of you. You got to start living a life that is more than you. Where society says, take care of you. No. God will take care of you. So, His prayer was, give me favor with the king. Give me favor with the people and I'll get it done. I will rebuild the wall. Basically, and he's also probably thinking if he had modern day stores, he'd be like, listen, I'm not a Home Depot guy. I told y'all me and Nehemiah got a lot in common. I'm not a Home Depot guy. I never clocked in and out at Lowe's. I have zero experience with anything. All I know how to do is hold a cup juice. That was Nehemiah's story. And what I saw this week as I was rereading this text, God wanted to use somebody to do something incredible. But what I noticed was so interesting to me was the fact that when Nehemiah went to rebuild the walls, he didn't go get any new materials. He didn't go get any new materials. In the remaining moments that we have, just a few here. Wow. Oh. Time to stand still. You did it once before, God. Let's do it again. In the remaining moments that we have, I want to give you four things that you need to know before you walk out of here. The first one is this. God does want to restore you. Or make it personal. God wants to restore me. I'm encouraging you to take notes because you need, when all you can see is the broken and shattered places in your life, you need to have something that you can go back to and look and say, God wants to restore me. Can you say that with me? God wants to restore me. Here's what makes restoration so tricky. Because some of us have a jaded view of what restoration really is. Many of you keep praying for new, and God wants to know, what do you have left? Well, I've been married for 25 years. She ain't doing it for me no more. I'm going to go get me something new. Going to get me a younger model. Y'all know how we do with cars? When we're over it, we go trade it in. We don't like our house. We put it on the market and go get a different house. Listen, many Christians are praying for something new. God, do something new. And God's like, hey, I can fix this with what you have left. Let me say it this way. Your version of restoration is a new thing. God's version of restoration is what's on the ground. The pieces on the ground. Broken pieces. What am I saying? God wants to use the broken pieces, the pieces that seem hopeless and useless, to put whatever it is back together. I know this is not a message to make you get excited and shout. It's a reality message that says, you know what? I'm going to stop avoiding the fact that my life is a mess. Let's talk about it. And let me just tell you, you don't have to stay that way. Over the course of my life, for me, just me, because some of y'all might be perfect, I don't know. But for me, I've made a lot of jacked up decisions. Matter of fact, they're what I call stupid, STOOPID, stupid decisions. And can I tell you, every time I found myself staring down at all the broken pieces of a life or a situation that I destroyed, every single time I received God's grace and mercy. That's why our last daughter's middle name is Grace. So that I could be reminded that I need His grace every day. That's why there's not a what do you call that when you combine a first name and a last and a middle name and you put that little hyphen? It's not hyphenated, but when I say her name, she's the educator. I'm just the pastor. Okay. Sometimes I don't get all, but that's why when I say her name, I say Ansley Grace, because I'm reminding my flesh I need His grace every day. Listen. When God gave me His grace and His mercy, He didn't give me a brand new life. I understand that the teachings, He makes all things new and all those things. But listen, He said, I'm going to use what you have left to build you into what I have for you and to take you where I want you. We want God to just miraculously give us everything new. God's saying, what's on the ground? I can use that. No, you don't want that, God. That's a lot of hurt. No, he wants to use that hurt. He wants to use that disappointment. Some of you have made a mess in certain areas of your life, and you're waiting on God to send some home improvement package, and God is saying, look around. Everything you need is right where you are. Now, while Nehemiah and his crew were rebuilding the wall, there was this dude named Sanballat. I call him the distraction, or you could say he's a sucker. Everybody say sucker. Not sucker, that's a lollipop. I'm saying he's a sucker. He was trying to stop what God was wanting to do through Nehemiah. Listen, anytime you actually obey the voice of God, anytime that you try to do what God is calling you to do and be obedient, there will always be a sucker. There'll always be a distraction to prevent you from going after what you already know God told you. Let's just look for just a second at the trash talk that this sucker said. Nehemiah 4, verse 1 and 2. Sanballat was very angry when he learned that they were rebuilding the wall. He flew into a rage and mocked the Jews, saying in front of his friends and the Samaritan army officers, what does this bunch of poor, feeble Jews think they're doing? Do they honestly think they can build the wall in a single day by just offering a few sacrifices? Do they actually think they can make something of stones from a rubbish heap and charred ones at that? As I read this, I started thinking Nehemiah must have had a conversation with himself. Basically, I believe Nehemiah would have said something like, we may look broken, but we're not broke. See, broken means it can be fixed. Broke means you throw it in the junk pile, you can't do nothing with it. Too many Christians make a mistake, do something stupid, STOOPID, do something crazy, and they feel like God wants to put them out back because they're broke. No, you're just broken. This is what God showed me this week. I would rather be broken. Let me put it this way. Let me use the hyphen. Broke in. Baseball players, got a glove, new glove, works better when it's what? Broke in. You can get a perfect catch if it's broke in. Some of you have gone things that you feel like, yeah, the enemy's trying to break you. But God will always turn it around. And he's saying, you're not broke, you're just broke in. Amen. I'm going to go preach to the wall. Listen, I know people have left you, but I came to remind you, you're never alone. Amen, if you've been saved, if you've been born again, you have the Holy Spirit living on the side of you, living on the inside of you. You are never alone. I came to tell somebody this morning, you may be broken, but you're not broke. Amen. I was thinking about the time that I jacked up my foot and I had to put a boot on it. And I remember coming up here and leading worship with a boot. Listen, there may have been something broken on the inside of my boot, but I wasn't broke. You can't take my praise. There was a heaviness in here this morning. I felt it. I'm back there going, God, I don't know what it is. I don't know who brought what in. But God, we need to break through. Talking about breaking something? We need to break through this. See, because the enemy, he'll put all kinds of crap on you so that you can't receive from his word. You're blinded by all the distractions. It may not be a Sanballat. It may be a mom, a dad, or a sister-in-law. It may be a mother-in-law. Don't nobody say nothing right there. I don't want to get nobody in trouble. The enemy knows what he's doing. He's not nervous that you came here. He's just like, I'm going to put enough stuff on them that they'll just sit there and be like, okay, let's go home and eat. No, man, you walk in here. God wants to give you something. He brought you here today to hear these words. When life gets crazy and you got all this scattered pieces all around, you may feel broke. You're just broke in. I can do more with a broken glove than I can a new one. Remember what I said? God doesn't give you something new. He wants to repair what's been tainted. Am I talking to anybody in here? Somebody shout it out with me. Say, I may be broke, but I'm not broken. Actually, that's not. I may be broken, but I'm not broke. I'm just seeing if y'all are alive. That's all I was doing right there. Listen, some of you, it's all about recovery, baby. All about recovery. Some of you need to get this word down on the inside of you. Because many of you, listen, many of you have wasted time staring at the broken pieces as if it's something to look down on. Did you hear me? I don't know who this is for this morning, but God is about to restore you. But hear me, hear me. God's going to bring restoration power to your life. But hear me, it's not going to come the way you think it's going to. Second thing that I noticed from this story, God will restore. Second thing was, God will reposition the pieces. I got to move through this fast, y'all. God will reposition the pieces. Imagine with me, can you? These massive stones that were once up on the wall, that were forming a wall. Now they're just on the ground and as rubble. Can you imagine being given the task of taking all of those things and trying to figure out which piece went where? Because you know that's how we do. I need things to go back just the way they were. I need my marriage. God, put my marriage back just like it was. You don't need a marriage like you had. Yeah, say that. Say that. You need a better one. God, put it back together. Bring my friends back to my life. Listen, we often look at our lives like a giant puzzle, and oftentimes, whatever it is that our life is built on, you put a puzzle on a table, you bump the table, the pieces go everywhere. That's how we look at our life. Listen, now all we have are scattered pieces everywhere, and what we try to do is put it all back together just the same way that it was. I just believe there are times that God watches things fall. He allows things to fall because some pieces in your life don't need to get put back how they always were. Some friends, instead of, well, I need to put all these friends and all these relationships, I got to put all these things. No. Sometimes those friends don't need to be as close to you. I learned this a long time ago. Bless you. Places that God has taken you ain't for everybody in your circle. Can't everybody go where God is leading you? Sometimes he'll allow things to fall apart and he'll go, that's good, because you know what? I need to put this over here on that wall. It doesn't need to be over here close to your heart. Is anybody getting anything out of this? Hear me. Listen, when God begins rebuilding things, he may not necessarily put the pieces where they were. God wants to reposition them. We're talking about finding purpose in broken pieces. Write this down. God will break me to reshape me. God will break me. See, that's why I would choose to say, God, break me of my pride. Because if I don't do it, if I don't allow him to do it, he will do it, and it'll hurt much worse. God will break me to reshape me. That's why the Bible calls him the potter and us the clay. You ever seen what a potter does? If he makes something, he doesn't like how it looks, what's he do? Squishes it. You're like, is God going to squish me? I don't know. That's between you and him. But my responsibility is to put myself up on the potter's wheel and say, God, make me into whatever you want. And if you don't like something, redo it. Let's start over. Listen, not only does God want to restore you, not only does he want to reposition you, God will redistribute the pieces. Redistribute the pieces. There's another story in the Bible where a bunch of people had gathered to hear Jesus. You know the story. It's the story of feeding of the 5,000. But I believe it was Adam or somebody was just up here the other week that was talking about it was close to over 15,000 people because it was just 5,000 men. Then you got their spouses. Then you got the kids, right? All those people. Listen, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, the people are hungry. And Jesus said, you feed them. What happened? He put the responsibility back on the disciples. And that's the problem with most people. They're too busy trying to build their own kingdom, pad their own bank account, that they miss the fact that the whole reason God blessed you is so that you can be a blessing to someone else. Hear the words that are coming out of my mouth. We're so busy building our own kingdom that we forfeit and negate the fact that the reason God blessed us is to advance his kingdom. Sure, Jesus could have snapped his finger and, I mean, he could have just produced enough food right then. But what'd he say? You do it. So what'd they do? They went and found a little boy with a Lunchable. 5 loaves, 2 fish. They brought it to Jesus. The Bible records that Jesus took it, broke it, and blessed it. Listen, whatever gets broken gets blessed. God gave me that late yesterday afternoon. Whatever gets broken gets blessed. So God, break me. Again, I know this is not a popular message. You want to be told, hey, you're the head, not the tail. Yeah, we don't want to hear. In order for me really to be blessed, I got to let God break me. We don't want to be broke. I'm not talking about finances. We don't want to be broke. Listen, have you ever wondered why Jesus chose to feed the 5,000 or 50? Do you know why he chose to do it that way? I'll tell you why. Because there is a multiplication anointing in the breaking. You think you're making your bank account big? Imagine if you allow God to break you. Because inside the breaking is a multiplication. All we can do is add. He'll multiply. Multiply. Some of you have looked at the scattered. Permission I'm almost done. Are y'all good? Y'all good for this? Okay, listen. Some of you have looked at the scattered pieces of your life and wondered, how can God do anything with my life how it looks right here? Listen, can I tell you something? Even the leftover pieces have value. Remember what I told you? What do you have left? God wants to use what you have left, what's on the ground. Even the leftover pieces from that story, even the leftover pieces have value. After the disciples were able to feed all of those people, Jesus told them, go gather the leftovers. Why? So that nothing was wasted. Maybe one day, you'll be at a place where you can sit and listen to my real story, my testimony, and not judge me. Because if I told you, oh, you're a PK, you couldn't tell me nothing. No, y'all don't even know. You don't have no clue. No clue. But as I look back on all the destruction that I did in my life based on choices, I was just having this conversation with somebody the other day. God doesn't waste anything. You're like, well, how could God use that trauma? How could God use that breakup? How could God use that divorce? You'd be surprised what God can do when you give it to him. We wear divorce like a badge of honor, like it's some war, like you're a war hero. And the things that we go through. Tomorrow will be 5 years that I walked into my parents' house and found my dad gone. On the floor, gone. God has used the trauma and the 2.5 years of dark days to minister to others. I stood up here on Sundays and couldn't even get through my notes. And I said, God, they don't want to watch. They're not coming for that. And he said, you're teaching them how to grieve. I'm like, I don't want to be a teacher. I don't want to teach. God will use our brokenness. God will use our broken eyes to see the brokenness in others. And then he will use our broken pieces to help people put their pieces of their life back together. You think the pieces are just for you. God wants to use your pieces to put someone else's life back together. Oh man, you told me a long time ago you minister most out of your most vulnerable moments. In closing, I got to bring this down. The pieces of a life that you have destroyed, situations, relationships, God wants to use those pieces to put you back together. Did I give you the fourth one? God. The fourth thing is God wants you to remember. Listen, this is what he wants you to remember. True power is not found in a life that's perfect. Hear me. Power is found in a life full of pieces. I know. The Bible says, be ye perfect even as our Father is perfect. I know, Matthew 5:48. Listen. That word perfect doesn't mean a perfect performance. For too long, the church has put an emphasis on, if you're not living perfect, you stay out there till you get it perfect, then you come in here. If that's the case, the preacher who said that shouldn't even be on a platform. What that word is actually perfect is referring to is an invitation to be complete, mature, and fully developed. Watch this. It means to be brought into its intended end. What God intends you to be in the end. Pursuing that. It's never been about perfection. The only way you get brought to your intended end is through broken pieces. Think about it. That painful experience brought you closer to Jesus. That disappointment has brought you closer to Jesus. Losing that loved one has brought you closer to Jesus. That diagnosis has brought you closer to Jesus. That failure has brought you closer to Jesus. I don't know about you, but I hear God better when I'm broken. I'm a better husband when I'm broken. When I'm broken. Let me do it that way. I'm a better pastor when I'm broke in. I'm a better dad when I'm broke in. As a matter of fact, I don't want to be put back together. I function better when I'm broken. See, it's our natural instinct to look at others to help us put our pieces back together. Can I tell you, that's dangerous. When our life falls apart and we got pieces all around us, we run to relationships, we run to all the, trying to get somebody help put me back together. Listen, there's an old nursery rhyme. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together. You know why? Because that's always been a king's responsibility. He's the King of Kings. Listen, that's why membership Sunday is so incredibly huge and important. Because when we go through things in life, and we will, You're like, my life's cool right now. Give it time. Give it time. You just hadn't lived long enough. When it does, instead of running to Facebook and relationships and all this other stuff, that the enemy will line up for you. He will line it up. Why? Because he knows what you like. He'll line it up. But instead of going to that, let the king come before the king. When we start worship, the Bible says where two or three are gathered in his name, not Release City, not Pastor B, in his name, he said, there I'll be also. That means the king is in the room. The king is in the room. If you're here today and you've got some broken places in your life, the king is in the room. I didn't know how my note said to finish the message, so I'm going to finish it this way. If you're here this morning, I know, 12:18, they'll be resetting the salad bar for you from the First Church crowd. Oh, that's right. We got food here and it's being kept warm for you. Okay, back to the message. If you're here this morning, and I'm done. If you're here this morning, you say, I've got some broken places in my life. And I want to give them to the king. Don't let my jokes sabotage. That was wrong of me. The presence of the Lord is in this room. The king is in this room. And he wants you to know you're not too far gone. You're not broke. You're just broke in. If you're here this morning and you've got some broken places in your life, and you're tired of trying to pick them up and put them in the right place, you want God to, would you just stand? There's no one, two, three. Would you just stand right where you are? I'm standing with you. I got broken places. God, here we are. Broken, but not broke. What the world and others and family and churches have said, you're too broke. Just catch a seat in the back. I undo all of the negative verbiage that's ever been spoken over anyone's life listening to my voice right now. I undo it by the power of the Holy Spirit right now. Broke in, not broke. God, you know the need of every single person standing. You know their story. You know the number of pieces that have laid dormant. And God, it's my prayer for all of us that you would show us the pieces that we need to that need to be replaced, and the pieces that need to stay dormant. The relationships that needs to stay dormant. God, help us not to fight it. I don't know anybody that goes into surgery going, hey doc, do it this way. Hey doc, do it that way. Doc, let me stay awake. I think I can help. God silently almost put us under spiritually and just do a work in our lives and in our hearts and just fix areas that we don't even know need to be fixed. And they give us the power to arise, let our faith rise, and walk away boldly. You make all things new. And I thank you for that. I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you for the plan you have over their life and what you've called them to. I think we've already said it today. Let's say it again together all over the building. God, I am yours. Have your way in my life today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thanks again for tuning in. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes. And if you like what you're hearing, consider rating it and even sharing it with your friends. For more content from Release City, or just to stay connected with us, be sure to check us out on all of our social media platforms at Release City Church or through our website at releasecitychurch.org. We love you, and until next time, the best is yet to come.